in to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Okay, hello, welcome to episode 238 of the Self-Help Podcast with me, Ed Lamb, and Sean Orford. How are you doing, Sean?
I'm very, very good. I'm just recovering from Christmas.
Ah, yeah. It was a good one, wasn't it?
It was. It was amazing.
Festive frolics and fun. I hope Father Christmas was kind to you as well.
No, Father Christmas is always kind to me. Yeah.
Very good. Yeah, we're going to talk about New Year this week.
We are, yeah.
Aren't we? Looking forward. Last week, if you didn't listen to the show, you should do, because the kind of bookended this last week and this week.
Yeah.
We're kind of looking back on the year, and this week we're looking forward and how to make the most of the year ahead.
Yeah.
Because we as humans set these weird little markers in life, don't we? Like January the 1st. It's exactly the same in reality as December the 31st, but we give it a whole new name and number. And
but that's the thing, is it? And it could be any day in the year. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But if you take the concept of, okay, ending, so Christmas, looking at the idea of reviewing the year that's been and letting go of any negativity, so we're at that point where we're now going to start this new thing, this new cycle. Mm-hmm. Okay, we've chosen it to be the 1st of January.
Yeah. Well, people might be listening to this, because I see the stats and people listen to our shows, you know, over many months or later than they were actually put out.
Yeah.
So you might be listening to this in June or July, but tomorrow can be your New Year.
Yeah. But I often think that our individual New Year is our birthday.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my New Year, really, is my birthday.
Yeah.
Yeah. We just choose to mark this point as like a global year.
Yeah.
Global year, that's okay.
Yeah, so yeah. Just dive into this week's show, hey? Let's actually, I should mention the website first, just in case there are any new listeners. Liveinthepresent.co.uk is our website, show notes and links there. Stick your email address in the box and we'll send you some free meditation files, won't we? Two of them.
We will.
You'll get a discount code for our book, Live in the Present.
You will.
Isn't that right?
You will.
And you'll get weekly alerts for this podcast too, so you'll...
You will.
You'll always be front of the queue.
Yeah.
So to speak.
Good.
There we go, that's that done. So, where were we? New Year.
New Year. Hey, woo, come on.
Well, the kind of obvious thing for a self-help podcast... We are the Self-Help Podcast. The Self-Help Podcast.
The!
Would be to talk about kind of resolutions and goals. Are we going to talk about that today, really? Or is that
In a way. But I think that we have to look at it in terms of people not setting themselves up. It's dead easy to set yourself up for failure.
Yep.
By either putting the goal too far away so you can't get to it, so you can confirm yourself that you're a failure. Or you can... not have enough dedication to what it is that you want to do, and that's the persistent, consistent thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you're going to change, you have to be persistent and consistent. You can't just want to change, you've got to do something.
Yeah, because before we came on air, I asked you what your plan for 2018 was, and you said how you'd like to work a bit less or a lot less, or I can't remember your exact phrase.
And I've never said that before.
I was pretty sure if one of our eagle-eared. Do eagles have good ears? I don't think so. Bat-eared.
Bat-eared
listeners would go back to last year's show and have a listen to what our resolutions were. I bet Sean's was. And the year
was
before
I
that.
Say I was going to work less.
Work less. Spend more time with the wife. That kind of thing.
I'm going to work less. Spend more time with the wife. That's what I'm going to do.
Yeah. This time next year, eh? We'll be millionaires and all that.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I was thinking about it, and maybe, yeah, I mean, I'm not a goal kind of guy, really. It's taken me a few years to figure that out of doing self-help, self-development bits and bobs. I think that's all right, and I was thinking about it, maybe just for me at least. Maybe instead of setting goals and kind of resolutions, maybe what we should be doing is just like we discussed in last week's show about how we can learn things like forgiveness and what have you, and maybe we focus on ways of living rather than exactly what we want from life. The things we want will just come anyway.
Yeah.
Good old law of attraction, hey?
But the issue, it always has to come down to being happy. Are you happy? It doesn't matter how much you've got or what clever things you've done. Are you happy? And if you're happy, then you've cracked it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a bit, I hate that wishy-washy happy word.
Well, when someone says, I want to be happy, the next question is, OK, what does happiness look like? You know, what shape is it, what colour is it, and what noise does it make? You know, you have to know what it is that you're looking for.
Yeah, you don't have to be smiling all the time to be happy.
No.
Because I get it in the ear from my wonderful, darling wife about, like, not being miserable, but not being super excited about things all the time, or when cool stuff happens, she'll kind of look at me and I'll just be kind of blank-faced a little bit. And it's either because I'm tired and I haven't had enough sleep because I've been up too late reading and just mucking around. But my response is that I am happy. I'm just kind of, yeah, I'm just not, I don't have those big spikes of happiness and subsequent despair.
Yeah, I guess the issue is how do you express it, isn't it? You know, yeah. Some people might express their happiness by going out and spending a load of money. Someone else might do it by going out and eating a load of cakes. You know? I mean, it depends on how you look at it.
I do. Spending money on cakes.
Yeah, yeah, all the time, yeah. Yeah. Celebrate with a cream bun.
So, yeah. Yeah, that's my thinking. Rather than focusing on goals this year and resolutions as such, maybe you just focus on, or make a resolution and a goal to be more forgiving, or to be more giving, more caring, kind, more of a willingness to learn new things as well. That's a big one for me.
What would be a good thing from this would be for people that are listening to actually message in and tell us what kind of resolutions they're in the process of making. Are they materially goal-driven? Are they kind of more emotional? You know, are they issues of traits they want to develop? You know, what is it that people are looking at here?
Mm.
I do have an issue of, and I've been trying to do it for a year, this is true, of being able to do less out there and do more in here, in the sense of being able to go up into the attic that I spent so much time creating that did eventually happen, but to use it more. And to be up there, there's things I want to write, there's things I want to record, there's things I want to do up there. And I haven't created the space to do that yet. Yeah. Variety of reasons. Some of those are valid, some of them are excuses. You know, but being able to face that, deal with it.
Yeah, and I think it's important not to beat yourself up as well if you don't hit your crazy deadlines, isn't it? Things take time in life, don't they?
Yeah.
Sometimes we are very... we want things now, don't we? We want things yesterday. But sometimes things take days, weeks, months,
years. Things develop organically, don't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you're kind of learning along the way and making little tiny steps each day or each week, that's all right, isn't it?
Yeah.
Don't need to beat yourself up over it.
No.
So don't worry, Sean. Don't be upset about your loss. It took you 6 years to do, and you've already been up there since.
Yeah. I got there every now and again.
Yeah. I need to go up there, actually, and fish out all your film and microphone equipment and stuff.
Yeah, the light stuff.
Anything we can pull for our office setup.
For the studio.
The studio office that we've got going down in Birkenhead.
Yeah, now I've got spare gear up there that you're welcome to have.
Yeah.
Yeah. To you, it's good. Yeah.
What's this nice little quote I've inserted of yours from your blog post?
Well, what I've done is what I've been saying is that actually the podcast and the blog is quite short and simple. Really. It's not like a long, winded thing. So the principles are dead easy. So if you're going to create the year that you want, then it starts off with that wonderful phrase, the things you think about, you will bring about. So that the issue is, on the website, you can get the morning review, the morning focus and the evening review,
right.
In fact. So the morning focus, which is about creating your day, well, we're talking about a year focus. So what is it that you're going to get out of the year? So thoughts become things. If you're going into this new year thinking, wow, it's going to be amazing, well, you're right. And if you go into this year thinking, oh, it's going to be terrible, well, guess what? You're right.
Mm-hmm.
Because thoughts become things. We create it. That's the way that it works, yeah?
Yeah.
So the idea, second one, you're the author of all that you experience, you know, in that sense of it's not what happens to me, it's the way that I respond to it. That's the bit that's important.
Right.
I am the author of this. Yeah, yeah,
you have a choice.
But I'm the author of my own life. It's like I can be working for an organisation and be doing everything that the organisation wants me to do. Mm-hmm. I could be in a relationship where I'm doing everything my partner wants me to do. Now, hang on, whoa. I need to stop and pick up the pen and start writing my own book, my own life. I don't need to be a bit part player in someone else's story. I need to be the main hero in my story.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the bit that's kind of important.
Beautiful. Yeah? Okay, cool.
Yeah. I love this phrase, a Ramji phrase. Should have it on my forehead. What you feed will grow and what you starve will die.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's that ultimate natural law. It happens in everything, whether it's animals, whether it's vegetables, you know, whatever it is. It's always that way around.
Yep.
And it happens for us emotionally. So dead important. Yeah.
Mm.
And the Epictetus thing about you're never affected by events, you're affected by your response to those events.
Yep. Yeah.
Now, all these things are the tools that you need to create the year that you want.
Yeah, right. Because last week we were talking about some of the more public and like horrific things that had gone on in the world, you know, the Grenfell Tower and the terrorist attacks, even, you know, maybe he's the love of your life and you think he's great, but Trump, old Trumpy pants.
Yeah.
But things like that will happen this year. Mm. There will be a terrorist attack in the UK, probably.
Yep.
There will be a natural disaster that kills tens of thousands of people.
Yep.
They may not affect you directly. They might do. How you have a choice on how you react to those things, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And the thing is that difficult things are happening all around us. That doesn't mean, say, that I have to become a difficult person. Yeah, there may be people around me who are negative and not nice. That doesn't mean, say, that I have to be that.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that sense of an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, you know, you're bad to me, so I'm going to be bad to you, mm-hmm. just creates more badness.
Mm.
Yeah. Doesn't get you anywhere.
Yeah, so knowing that these terrible things are going to happen, like you say, we have, if you know in advance they're going to happen, then not exactly what they are, but maybe just set yourself a little challenge, you know, check out how you reacted to certain things last year in the news or things that happened to you personally, and that perhaps you're not too proud of or that you think you could do better, and when they happen this year, be ready and see how you can react this time around, eh?
Well, one of the things that I think is really important, but I accept the fact that for many people it's very, very difficult, is that the idea that the people that commit atrocities are usually very damaged people. And what they get is they get our hatred, they get all the negative energy that we have directed towards them. And I understand that and I get that. But perhaps it's more appropriate that what we give them is compassion.
Right.
And understanding. Now, that's pretty tough if they've just, you know, murdered 30 of your countrymen, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Countrymen and women.
Yeah.
But in reality, if I've got it right, those human beings are on the same path, the same evolutionary path that you and I are on.
Mm-hmm.
They may be at a different place in it, and they may be in a damaged state. But if we are all one, if all of creation is one, those people, however negative they are, at some level, are myself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, I can choose to say us and them, and know they're nothing to do with me. You know, but actually, if all creation is one, then all creation is one. Yeah?
Yep.
It gets into kind of tough philosophical areas. But one of the things that I don't kind of publicise too much on this kind of thing, but it's like I do some work with people that generally other people won't work with. You know, because they've done things that are considered in our society and in our law to be bad, mm-hmm. evil, nasty, whatever things.
Yeah.
But my take on that is that they are people, the same that we are people, and they need compassion as much as we need compassion.
Yep.
Yeah. They have different lessons to learn. They're in different places, but we all have lessons to learn, and we're all in places.
Mm.
It's us that makes those decisions between right, wrong, good, and bad. So that the idea that one man's freedom fighter is another man's terrorist.
For sure. Yeah. There's a really cool... Are you a Netflix guy?
Yeah, Netflix? Yeah. Hey, I'm into Netflix.
Have you seen Mindhunter yet?
No.
It's like 10 episode one. Well, I think there is going to be a second season. It's incredible. Like, you would absolutely love it. So it's about this team of FBI not an agents isn't the right word, but they set up this division in the 60s. Small division, just two guys that I don't even know if it's a true story or not. I assume it is, because probably work like that will have been done by guys like yourself, that when serial killers start to come on the scene in America in the 50s and 60s, like Manson and others like him, obviously they were chucked in jail, thrown away the key, death penalty where applicable, but there were a couple of agents and a couple of people that psychologists that had the foresight to interview these people and try to understand where they were coming from. They obviously met with a lot of resistance, in terms of like, these guys aren't worth your time, they don't deserve, etc., etc. And it shows you it goes through them interviewing these guys that have done some absolutely horrific things. So if you're a bit squeamish,
yeah,
anyone out there, just be warned, it's pretty graphic, and the language in it. But it's incredible, speaking to these serial killers, which I don't actually know if they are real ones or not. You would love it, man. It's amazing. But yeah, just having an understanding, and there's nothing to give away in the story really, but when you start to hear the stories of these men, because they all are men that they interview, it's just the usual stuff, like, yeah, dad left home when I was 4, mum didn't pay me any attention, uncle whatever beat the heck out of me for years and years and years, etc., etc., went to prison when I was 14, yada yada yada. It seems pretty obvious on the face of it, but a little bit of compassion earlier on would have made all the difference.
It's weird how, and it always makes you sound like some kind of hippie, but it's like how the issues of compassion, love and empathy solve problems. And how violence, hatred and negativity doesn't.
No. We know, we're there with politics at the moment, aren't we? The kind of the two sides of the spectrum, the political spectrum in America and here. So you've got Brexit and Remain, and you've got Trump, and you've got the Democratic side, and we've got how we deal with refugees, immigration. Yeah. It's all
homeless,
that stuff. Homeless people.
We were talking about before. Yeah.
How tough on crime should we be, etc., etc.
Yeah.
So we've got some big questions to answer, and you know that's the kind of stuff this year that our listeners, you know, in their own little ways, we can just help shift the balance a little bit, can't we? We're not talking about letting anyone off the hook, but we can just kind of, shift the debate and show a bit of compassion, hey?
Yeah.
Maybe. That's what I'm going to try and do anyway.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and maybe that's a good resolution for next year.
Yeah.
How about the global resolution is we're all going to be more compassionate to everyone around us.
Yeah. Chink, I'll drink to that. I'll finish my beer.
Chink.
That seems like quite a cool way to end it, unless you've got anything else on your list here.
No, then. I'm good. My resource for for this podcast is the idea of writing a speech for what would happen in a year's time. So, like, say, it's Christmas, New Year, whatever, 2018... and someone's written a speech about your year, and they're saying, you know, it's that kind of hubbub of a party, and someone pings the champagne flute to bring everybody to silence, and they give this speech about what you've achieved this year.
Mm-hmm.
What is it that you'd like to hear? And and as a piece of homework for everybody to do, it's a really good thing, because it gives you a direction as to what you want to achieve in the year. Now, it doesn't have to be that it is, you know, I made £1 million, I produce this. It could be that that speech is about how compassionate I've been and how I did this and how I did that. But it gives you goals to work towards that are kind of realistic and maybe are more kind of fuzzy cuddly. But they do what we're talking about, the compassion stuff.
Yeah. Okay. Like it. I've just mentioned my resource. I'll go Mindhunter, Netflix.
Mindhunter.
Just with the proviso that you're a bit squeamish or whatever. It's about serial killers.
Yeah, yeah.
And some of them have done some, like, the most horrendous things you can imagine, but worse than you can imagine, actually. But
the thing for me, that if no one's prepared to work with these people, which is why I do the stuff I do, is that those people are effectively abandoned. And people may listen to that and think, well, they should be abandoned. But that doesn't help the evolution of human consciousness at all.
Well, in this TV show, at least, they all became serial killers because they were abandoned.
Yeah, yeah.
Early on, yeah. You know.
Just reinforcing the problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know.
Okay, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Sean. Yeah. High five.
That was a low five.
Yeah, lots more podcasts coming, eh?
Yeah, yeah. Another, oh my God, how many can we do?
Yeah, I'm sure we can manage another 52, eh?
Then we go for 1,000, didn't we?
Oh, yeah, and then call it a day.
Yeah, that's it, I've done that.
Yeah, right, have a good one, Sean.
Yeah, okay, and a Happy New Year to you.
Likewise, and to all our listeners, thanks for tuning in.
Okay, bye now.
See you later.
Cheers.
Bye.